Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:05 p.m. the Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 29th, and Christine Lagarde rode to the rescue in here today, not just for Europe, but also for the wider perception of just when is liquidity going to be injected back into the economy, and not just the economy, but the global economy. The euro pulled back in a reasonably dynamic manner, but we have to remember back in September, the ECB said that they weren't especially happy with how strong the euro was, and it failed to push above the 120 level. And the determination by the ECB to provide additional liquidity is likely to continue to put downward pressure on the euro. When we then think about the dollar, well, it's not like the Federal Reserve or the U.S. government, whatever, however that is made up in the next few weeks, is going to be shy about providing additional liquidity, but it's not a near-term consideration, and therefore there is potential now for the dollar to do better again, and it was up in a reasonably dynamic manner here today. If we think about the fact that no country wants a strong currency, but some want a weaker currency more than others, well then, the renminbi is the currency where people are, I guess the government has shown a willingness to allow it to appreciate. It's been going up since June. It was in positive territory today, although it didn't hold all of the advance. When we then look at the renminbi versus the euro, well then, I think we are provided with an interesting chart, because the renminbi has been falling against the euro since 2015. There is still a sequence of lower rally highs. It's rallying right now to challenge that sequence, but it's worth reminding ourselves that Europe is a much bigger destination for Chinese exports than the USA is. And the weakness of the euro, of the renminbi over the course of the last 5 years has certainly helped to support Chinese exports. So if they are willing to allow the renminbi to appreciate more substantially against the euro, and particularly if it goes above the 0.13 level, well then that would, I think, give us some clear indication that the Chinese are willing to allow their currency to appreciate, because when we start looking at other cross rates like the euro dollar or the yen dollar, well, it's really more of a story of competitive currency devaluation. The yen has still not been able to push through the 104 level, and it was weaker in here today. One idiosyncrasy of the market yesterday was that the majority of currencies that would classically have been a safe haven did not rally. Bonds did not rally to any discernible effect, and then the VIX index did close right on the high of its day, or a high of the day. It pulled back in here today, and it could well follow through on the downside tomorrow, and that would be very much in keeping with the kind of trading activity we've had. So there may be some buying the dip going on right now. We've had some news on the liquidity front from the ECB. It's quite likely that there's going to be additional liquidity provided by the USA as well. And there is the potential for an additional announcement from Japan on ETF buying. But then we also have tech earnings. Google came in ahead of expectations. The share has rebounded from the psychological $1,500 area. This is now a higher reaction low. By and large, this looks like a reasonably still consistent trend. We did have the somewhat bigger pullback at the beginning of the year. It found support in the region of the psychological 1,000, and now it's found support in the region of the trend mean, and it's not really overextended either. I think one of the most attractive things about Google is that that by buying the share, you get the optionality of Waymo and autonomous driving for free, because the vast majority of the valuation is implied in their advertising model. Twitter also came in ahead of expectations. That's following through from the success that Snap had last week. And Twitter is now breaking up and out to new recovery highs. It hasn't been at a closing value like this since 2014. And this is a lengthy period of consolidation that has been in evidence. Amazon came in more or less in line with what expectations were. It's been consolidating over the course of the last few months, but it's holding the 3,000 level, and it's unwound a good share of that overextension relative to the trend mean. The most important thing is that the continued relative strength of the NASDAQ is intact. It's got an overextension relative to the trend mean. It's got plenty of room in which to consolidate, but it's holding the sequence of higher reaction lows. And if we do, in fact, get a conclusive result to the US election, which arguably is, I think, probably a 50-50 consideration at this stage, then that would be beneficial. Of course, if we get a contested election, and if more importantly, if we get a lot of social unrest, and certainly police forces are preparing for unrest, because I, for example, got an email today from our local neighborhood watch, who stay in quite close contact with the police, and it basically said that nearby Beverly Hills had spent $5 million on additional measures to avoid the same kind of looting and very almost violent protests that occurred earlier in this year, and also that the Century City Mall is putting up barricades to try and stop people from going in and looting stores. We've certainly seen that any excuse has been used to congregate in sufficient numbers to avoid easy detection. And that's certainly being planned and then also being planned for next week. So there is the potential that there will be some rather horrific news headlines. But the bigger picture is how much liquidity is likely to be provided by the new government, and what kind of action will the Federal Reserve take. US GDP growth surprised on the upside in here today, and it continues to recover, and we could quite easily be back in a strong position, or that the US economy could recoup the vast majority of its decline by sometime next year. Then that would be somewhat behind what's going on in China, but China was first in, and it's certainly been first out. The CSI 300 was in positive territory in here today. It's rebounding from the lower side of its range. This has been a very tight consolidation over the last 4 months, and it's going to have to sustain a move up and through the 4900 level, but there's nothing on the chart to suggest that that won't in fact occur. When we then think about India, they haven't quite been able to get over their economic contraction just yet, but the stock market is certainly responding to lower interest rates and additional stimulus. But it is right in the region of its previous peak, so it's not at all beyond the bounds possibility that we do get some consolidation in here. Then when we look at European indices, they were in positive territory in here today, and so was the UK should benefit from the weakness of the pound. The FTSE was pretty much unchanged. When we think about the FTSE 250, the mid caps index, which has been the better performer overall, it was in negative territory. When we then look at just the broad picture for indices, they gave up most of their advances by the end of the day, but the DAX was in positive territory. And Germany continues to be the clear beneficiary of having a budget deficit that is manageable in terms of its total debt GDP, and has plenty of firepower to support their own economy, and then doesn't have or hasn't had the same very acute number of coronavirus cases either. But the impact of locking down more of the European economy is certainly going to be felt right across the boards in Europe, and it might require more fiscal stimulus in order to truly stem the declines. But the most important thing is that liquidity is both mobile and global, and it will migrate to the areas and sectors that are most attractive. Well, the technology sector is certainly firming up in here. Then when we think about the gold price, well, it was in negative territory in here today, but not in an especially dynamic manner. It's been in a process of consolidation now for the last 3 months, and it's unwound the vast majority of its overextension relative to the trend mean. If we think about the fact that back in early August, the peak was in the region of 20, or excuse me, $2,060, and the MA was around 1,642, so approximately a $400 overextension. Whereas today it's more like $100. So the vast majority of that overextension has already been closed. The longer this persists, then the more likely it is that the $1,800 level will hold. But until we clearly see that prices have found support and then are pushing up and holding moves up and out of this range, then we're not going to have clear confirmation that the corrective phase is in fact over. And then when we think about the gold mining sector, it is almost right in the region of the trend mean, and it was in positive territory in here today. When we look at the longer term chart, it has clearly broken up and out of this base formation, and this is the first somewhat larger pullback since it broke through and up above the $30 area. Then when we think about the junior miners, the somewhat more speculative portion, then it has just completed its base formation, and this looks like a first step above the base. When we then think about explorers, then they hadn't quite been able to break up and out of their base formation just yet. But they were in positive territory in here today as well. The reality is that the longer that the gold price holds the somewhat higher levels, particularly around the $1,900 area, then the vast majority of gold miners are making almost technology margins on their businesses. So that is going to transfer to the bottom line. We're not at a stage yet in the cycle where they're spending all of their available cash flow on exploration and M&A activity, and that means that they are in a position to reward shareholders. The reason that the gold miners did not represent a high beta play on gold in the last bull market was because they weren't rewarding shareholders. That has, I think, changed in this cycle, so they should offer a high beta move, and particularly when gold prices do eventually start to turn around. Then oil prices were in negative territory in here today and breaking down out of this range. This is a new reaction low, the lowest closing value since at least June. So then the clear downward bias is quite evident here. It's going to have to rebound in an emphatic fashion and push in a dynamic fashion back above the $45 level in order to question that this isn't a supply-dominated environment. Then when we look at the natural gas price, it is surging higher. It's had a really quite impressive move in here today, and not least because of the direct hit that Louisiana is experiencing from Hurricane Zeta. And that is limiting the amount of supply against a background where we've got some really very odd weather right now. There is For example, snow put out fires in Colorado. The extremely dry Santa Ana winds around Southern California have sparked a large number of fires. There is droughts in some parts of the USA. There's floods in others. And we're almost into November and still getting Category 3 hurricanes. And this is the most active hurricane season in history, so that they've in fact run out of names to call them. And this area around Louisiana has been hit by three hurricanes this year. More hurricanes have hit the continental USA this year than any other. Blessedly, they haven't been especially destructive, but the sheer number and the repeated hitting of the same area with hurricanes is going to mount up, and there will be a lot of damage that will need to be replaced. And then natural gas prices are incredibly depressed. They had been down below the $2 level for most of the year, so we're getting a lot of short covering occurring right now as well. The most important thing, though, is that natural gas has failed to sustain moves above $4 for more than a decade, and that's unlikely to change anytime soon. There's still plenty of the stuff around. The fact that natural gas prices are low is the primary argument for the evolution of a hydrogen fuel economy. And that is, of course, until an additional source of supply for hydrogen eventually becomes economic. Now, that may be achieved by sheer weight of capital devoted to building out the infrastructure. Or perhaps it will be achieved by regulatory arbitrage. The success that Tesla has had in selling carbon credits to the other auto manufacturers has ensured that its competitors have funded its expansion. Now, the big question is whether that same kind of business model, the regulatory arbitrage business model, can also be applied to renewable energy, where we can see that the solar sector and the hydrogen sector and the wind sectors have all done incredibly well, and they continue to do well. There's increasing investor demand for the internal rates of return that are available in the renewable energy utility sector. And there's the clear potential then that these types of utilities are going to be able to not only sell electricity but also carbon credits to their more polluting competitors, and whether that is utilities or it is the major fossil fuel producers, it remains to be seen. But there is clear potential for that kind of regulatory arbitrage to really take a bite out of the conventional energy sector. And BP, for example, continues to trend downwards. The two majors that produce more natural gas than oil are Royal Dutch Shell, and it was off its lows in here today, but it is still in the region of its all-time lows. And Exxon also produces more gas than oil, and it is starting to steady again from the region of its lows. So I think these are some interesting developments here, because we have this clear intention for central banks to refuse to raise interest rates. There's the clear potential that they're going to flood the market with additional supply. If they don't raise interest rates and they're going to flood the market with supply, it's inevitable that investors are going to start asking for additional return. And 10-year treasuries were up by 5 basis points in here today. It does raise the question, are we going to see the yield curve expand? And what will the Federal Reserve do in the event that it pushes back above the 70 basis point level? We've had the ECB move in here today, and we may yet be on the cusp of the Federal Reserve then also moving into action, not least to try and stop the dollar from rallying, but also at an attempted yield curve control. because if yields start to push upwards, that will put pressure on interest rates. And it's also worth reminding ourselves that China was first in and first out of the coronavirus. Importantly, it may also be the first country to raise interest rates. China was able to export deflation for decades after it entered into the World Trade Organization, and there's the real possibility that they will also export inflation. And there is the, I think, clear potential that we're moving into a period of competitive currency devaluation. And that is the primary bullish characteristic behind being interested in gold. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.